Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Makes me think of Fat Albert because we just joked about it.
I know.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, as we were saying in the last few episodes, this is our series, Things I Will Not Keep Apologizing For. And we really liked last week's.
Yes, episode 5, which was number 241. Really good.
Really good.
Yep. Yeah, we really liked it. And these are things that are sort of personal to me that I won't keep apologizing for. But like last week's, man, any setting, any leadership setting whatsoever, it applies perfectly. And today, not so much. Today, this one's going to be a little bit more tied towards the church. But this is stuff that I have felt personal conviction from the Holy Spirit for a long time. I'm not going to apologize for this stuff. And so this one's number 6, episode what?
Episode 242.
242. And what's the title of this one, Steph?
I will not apologize for talking about money.
Talking about money. Don't you push that button and end this podcast just because I said that. Today's topic of money makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And here's what's funny about that, though. Most people are not uncomfortable talking about money in general, just when it comes to the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that talking about money in certain situations, you know, like talking about money at the dinner table or talking about money with your in-laws or whatever can be kind of weird, but I get that. But when it comes to talking about money in the church, man, it makes people feel uncomfortable. And I get it, right? I get it. I think it's because of two reasons. I think the reason that people feel so awkward about money discussions in the church is, one, there's been so much abuse of money in the church,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not just modern times, okay? This is not just TV preachers. This goes all the way back, right? One of the key things that happened in the Reformation was the amount of corruption in the church of God based on money things, right? I mean, the church has been corrupt around this for a long time. And so I get it. I think that's one of those reasons. I think there are many, many master manipulator people who abuse the congregations, you know, spiritually for money. There are a lot of people who end up getting into the role of pastor that are narcissists. And it makes sense, right? Like, it makes sense that the pastorate would entice narcissists to become part of it. Because all eyes are on you. You have a lot of say in people's lives and things like that. So there's lots and lots of manipulative people who have found their way into those roles and abuse people in the church spiritually for money, for personal gain.
That's
like
sad.
They fleece the flock for their own personal gain, right?
Wow, fleece the flock.
There's been a lot of them. They fleece the flock. But listen, that still doesn't eliminate the truth, though. Just because those things have happened and just because there are poor leaders, that doesn't eliminate the truth. Truth is still the truth, even though people have abused it, right?
Yeah, you're right.
The answer to that is to abuse is the answer to these people abusing the authority in the church with regard to money. It's not avoidance. It's doing it right, right? And so it's not like, let's don't talk about it at all. The answer would be, well, let's do it correctly. Right. Let's don't continue doing it poorly. But let's also then don't avoid it just because people have done it poorly. You know what I mean? Let's do this thing right. That's the first reason. Now, here's the other reason I think people get uncomfortable talking about money in the church is it's uncomfortable to talk about money in the church because it's extremely personal. Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why it's hard to talk about it. It touches everything. Like money touches everything. It touches our security. It touches our freedom. It touches our future. And it's not just the numbers that are in your account. It's not just how much money's in the bank account. It represents what we depend on, how we will be taken care of. Money is never just about money. It is about the heart. It is about the deeper things of life, too. So one of the reasons people get uncomfortable about talking money in church is because there's been a lot of abuse. Mm-hmm. The other reason is because this is a very personal thing to us, right? So that one might be okay that it makes you sort of uncomfortable. And that's exactly why the whole idea of money being tied to and about your heart is exactly why Scripture talks about it so often. Like Jesus spoke about money and money-related things a lot. I don't think people really get this, but if you'll read the Gospels, you will see that Jesus talked about money more than almost any other topic. If you take how many times Jesus talked about heaven and hell and you added them together, they're still less than the amount of times he talked about money. All right? So, I mean, what should that tell us, right? Jesus, we said this in the last episode, real concern with your heart, right? That's the primary thing he's concerned with, because out of the heart comes everything else. And so if Jesus is really concerned about the heart and money is so tied to the heart, it makes sense that Jesus talked about it a lot, right? And so if Jesus talked about it a lot, then we should talk about it a lot, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't think that you can go, well, we shouldn't talk about it because there's been abuse and because it's real personal, right? The pastor shouldn't talk about these things because there's been abuse and because it's real personal. Jesus talked about it a lot. That should give us an indication that we need to talk about it a lot. If Jesus spoke about this a lot, he wasn't doing it for himself, right? He's God, okay? He's perfect. He's doing it for the people that are listening. And so if Jesus, as he's hanging around all these folks, thinks that they really need to hear about money a whole lot, then I'm certain that he thinks the same thing about us too, right? And so why would that be? Well, it's because, and Jesus is very specific about this, money competes for the place in our hearts that belongs to God. It's the number one competitor for your heart because it represents those things that are personal earlier, your security, your future, right? What you depend on, where you're going, how you're going to be taken care of, right? That's why it's the number one competitor. Steph, will you read? There's a couple of verses. So Matthew chapter 6, if you are a person who struggles with anxiety, you know Matthew chapter 6. It is the anxiety chapter of Jesus, right? It is a beautiful chapter. It has got to be, I mean, it's top five favorite chunks of Scripture for me for all time, right? I would throw in there the first three chapters of James, right? Matthew 6, Hebrews 12, Acts chapter 6 and 7. I mean, there's a few, but man, oh man, Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, but Matthew 6 is something else. John chapter 1, I got to stop. I'll keep going. But it's phenomenal. And there is time. I don't know if we're going to get to this in here. But if you read through it, you'll notice that Jesus' discourse on anxiety stems right out of this money conversation, too. It's interesting. So anyway, let's go. We're going to do these out of order, but go over verse 24 first.
Okay. Let me pull it up here.
Once again, Jesus talking here.
No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Okay, he's talking about two masters first. Everybody's like, oh, yes, Pastor, that is correct. You cannot serve two masters. And then he changes it up and says, here's the masters I'm talking about, God and money.
To be clear.
You cannot serve them both. Mm-hmm. Cannot means that Jesus just said that there is something impossible for you to do. It is not possible for you to serve both God and money. So in other words, what he's doing is he's laying out a choice that is in front of us at all times. That means you have a choice. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve money? Or this is the better way to look at it. Are you going to make your God serve your money or are you going to make your money serve your God, right? One of them is master. One of them is servant. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't serve both of them. Mm-hmm. And so that means one of them is going to serve the other. Right. This is that whole idea that he's laying out of competitor for your heart. Like, and he's bringing up money here. That's how important this thing is. And so if we understand that God is more important than money, Jesus just saying, then that what he's also saying, though, is that the money then has to serve God. So that's what we should be talking about. It's how we can have God in the number one spot of our lives, and we can have money not just down here in a different spot, but serving the God that's in our hearts. In other words, money then falls under God's authority in our life, right? That's its proper role. Because money by itself ain't nothing wrong with money. You know, when people distort the scripture and they'll say, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, right? That's not what it says. Nope. It says the love or pursuit of money is the root of all evil. In other words, if you pursue money above God, now you're going to get yourselves into all kinds of trouble, right? You're pursuing it. So in other words, it has to be subservient to it. So money is subservient to God. It has to serve it. And so we want to pursue God with all things, and then everything else in our life comes into submission to that. And Jesus is saying money's a real important one to be able to do that with. Now, go backwards a little bit and read 21.
Okay.
This is going to get exactly what I just said. It's going to be perfect, and I didn't even plan it this way. Do it.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Notice the order to this, to the thing, right? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Did you see what Jesus said? Jesus says your heart follows your treasure, right? The heart follows the treasure, not the way other way around, right? So wherever your heart's going to be is where your treasure is going to be, right? Where your treasure is, your heart is going to be, right? So what you treasure in your life, what you support with your money, what you feed with your money, right? Your heart's following all that, right? It's going where that is. So giving is not just some external act that happens. It's this internal formation that is going on consistently, right? It's shaping us. It's directing us. It's revealing what we value most. So when we take our treasures and we put them in God's hands, we put him in charge of them. I'm not saying give all your money to the church. I never said that, right? We put them in God's hands. Now it's showing what our heart really desires the most. Right, and it's not the money. It's we desire God to be in control of all those things, right? And so giving is not this external thing that we do. It's internally forming us all the time. So a healthy teaching about money is not about taking. It's about forming, right? Forming. Healthy teaching in the church, healthy preaching in church, healthy guidance, right? Like we talked about last week. Help, you know, it. It is not about taking something from someone, right? It is about them being formed into someone, right? And so we talk about this all the time at the church. One of the go-to lines is we don't want anything from you. We want something for you, right? Because this is about forming. It's not about taking. Giving is about becoming. Look at the life of Jesus. Just take a look. I think that the best descriptor you can give for the life of Jesus. If you said to me, Adam, describe Jesus's life in two words, in one phrase, I'll be tempted at first to go perfect, holy, righteous, but that doesn't really fully describe the nature of his life. I would say that the number one thing that describes Jesus's life is radical generosity. Radical. Insane, mm-hmm. otherworldly generosity, right? He gives everything. I mean, think about the fact that Jesus does not just give up his life. He gave up his throne, right? I mean, not here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He walks out of perfection to come here. And not just to come here, but then to come beneath us when he's here, right? I mean, not just, like, don't get hung up on Jesus becoming one of us. He didn't just become one of us. He became the least of us. You know what I mean? Like, he bore the sin of the whole world.
Yeah.
That was perfect. I mean, like, radical generosity is who Jesus is. And when we talk about giving, we talk about money, it's something that's forming us. And so the idea is to... is when we're giving, it is which is why the church has to talk about it. It is who we are becoming. And hopefully who we are becoming is the Jesus that we say we are serving, right? And Jesus is marked by radical generosity. So the followers of Jesus should absolutely talk about money, and they should do more than talk, right? They should walk the walk and not just talk the talk, and they should be marked by radical generosity as well. I mean, think about Jesus' giving. The verse we've got for this episode, or the second verse, third verse, is talks about this perfectly. Stephanie, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I got first part of 9, but it don't really matter. You can read whatever you want to. But we're going to be focused on the first part.
Okay. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
Right. So he who is rich, above all things that we could know to be rich, becomes poor. Obviously, that scripture there, Paul is not just talking about money, right? God of the world is rich in all things, right? He's rich in love and grace and mercy, in perfection. He's also rich, though, in he owns everything. Right? One of my favorite verses comes out of the Old Testament, a psalm that says that my God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? The cattle on a thousand hills. He has resources at his disposal that we have no idea about, right? Jesus was rich in resources of all kind. Like at any given moment, scripture tells us too in the Gospels, at any given moment, Jesus just could have called down a whole host of angels to whoop tail anytime he wanted to, right? Matter of fact, one of the disciples asked him, why don't you just call down a whole bunch of angels and get this going, right? I mean, he's rich in absolutely everything. And so he gives what? He gives his time, he gives his energy, he gives his presence, he gives his life. He lives with, when I said radical generosity earlier, here's another term. He lives with open-handedness, right? Everything, he holds the whole world in his hands, and yet he lives with the hand open towards us, right? Freely giving. That is Jesus. And so when we practice generosity, when we practice biblical money stewardship, right? When we practice our treasure being in the hands of God, when we practice that verse we read earlier about the money serving God as the master, we're not just giving money. When you practice, as a Christian, when you practice generosity, you are not just giving money. People who are not Christian, who are generous and they practice giving money to, you know, all kinds of homeless shelters and pet centers and the United Way and all that stuff, they're just giving money, all right? But you and I, as Christ followers, when we practice this, we aren't just giving money. We are being formed into his image in everything that we do. And so because you cannot become like Jesus and remain closed-handed, we are transformed as we give and as we focus on money the correct way, because that's how we become like Jesus, right? And so being saved means that you are now also being sanctified, that the Holy Spirit's living inside of you and forming you into the likeness of the perfect Jesus all the days of your life, right? Chipping away every single day and forming us all the way to eternity. The prep and sanctification is the prep in eternity. It's prepping us for an eternity where we are like Jesus and we are with Jesus. And so because you and I can't become like Jesus and be closed-handed, when we are practicing this, we are becoming more like Jesus because we are becoming more open-handed. And so a big conviction that I have is that Christians should be the most generous people on the planet, right? We say, I mean, think about this. We say that our core belief is that we know and have personally experienced what real generosity looks like, right? We say that we have experienced the greatest generosity the world has ever seen, that the Father gave his Son, right? We say that's what we believe. And so if we say that's what we believe, moral authority from last week's episode, if we say that's what we believe, then we should be the most radically generous people in the world, because we say we know what real generosity looks like. We have been given the greatest gift in the world. And then that should then mean that we are the greatest givers of gifts, right? Christians are hypocrites if they claim to receive generosity from God and turn around and fail to be generous. Mm-hmm. You are hypocrites. So I had a big conviction that should be the case. And by the way, let's go in this real fast. By the way, this was the American church for a very long time, until recently, right? Mm. So until recently, Christians in America gave more money to, let's just take one example, disaster relief than any other groups in the world, all right? Christians did. And so when a disaster would happen in America, when there was a grand need, so like charities being supported, Christians were the primary supporters of those charities. Here's a great example. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, it was this massive disaster, right?
Yeah.
Insane.
So sad.
I actually got a chance to go there about 6 months later to scout out us taking a group of teenagers for a mission trip. And me and two volunteers went to kind of scout it out. This was 6 months later, and the devastation was unreal. And we would drive by all these houses that had, they would spray paint the houses when they would check them for bodies and people. They would spray paint an X on it if it had been checked, and then there would be numbers. And we got a local to explain to us what the numbers were and the numbers that were located. And we drove by houses after houses after houses where it was like, this house has been cleared, and there were two bodies found in this house. Right? Tons. The devastation was unreal. Fast forward another decade, maybe more than a decade, I guess, right before we started Union Church, I, for the first time in my ministry life, worked outside of the church for a little bit in between us starting the church. I talk about that in the first few episodes of this podcast. If you want to go back and listen to it. Anyway, and I worked for a nonprofit that was taking old houses that were due to be torn down, and they would move them and then rehabilitate them in a green way and then sell them to people at a better rate, right? Like working class families so they could live in the city that they work in. And so we had a site in New Orleans. And so I flew down to New Orleans, and this is like, so the church started when Aiden, this would have been 12 or so years after Katrina, right? Maybe, I think that's right. Maybe a little bit less than that. Anyway, decade later, I go down there, and I'm looking at the same houses that I looked at a decade before, still with the spray paint on the door, right? That was, I mean, you're talking about decades worth of devastation here when we talk about Hurricane Katrina. All right, so you fast forward till now, and now it's been 20 years since all that happened. So now there's been enough time for some real research to take place. About 5 years ago, a research study came out that said, if Christians specifically had not acted when they acted for Hurricane Katrina, they estimate the death toll would have been 4 or 5 times higher.
Wow. Right?
4 or 5 times. Real research that shows us this now. However, though, in the last 4 years, now more people in America give to charities that are not Christians than Christians do. Something has shifted recently.
Seriously? Wow.
That's a tragedy.
That's really sad.
It's a tragedy. Because Christians should be the most generous people in the world, because we say we have received generosity. And our Savior talks about this topic all the time. And so you can't just let the fact that some people have abused that in the church and the fact that this is real personal keep us from talking about money, right? Can't do it. I don't talk about, we'll wrap this up. I don't talk about money because I want something from people, right?
Right.
Like we said a minute ago, I serve the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He will provide for his church, right? Matter of fact, what we say around here all the time is we don't give to pay light bills, right? God's going to take care of that. We have never taken money at Union Church from any denomination, outside group, network, planting organization, nothing. Every single dollar has come from me and you and every other person who tithes and gives offerings to the local church. And so when I talk about money, I don't want something from people, right? I believe that God will sustain what he calls and what he sets up, right? I believe he can provide, and he can provide in whatever way he wants to provide. I talk about money because I want something for people, not that I want something from them. And what I want for them is for them to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. And from a personal standpoint, last week we talked about moral authority. I'm not going to tell people to do something I don't do. So when I tell people to tithe to the church, I'm tithing to the church, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, and I'm not even saying this to be boastful, Valerie and I don't give 10%. We give 13.5%, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying that to tell people to do that. That's just what God has done in our lives gradually over time. You know what I mean? So I'm not telling people to do something I don't want them to do. And the reason I don't, the reason I give is not just because Jesus tells me to. It's because it is forming me in his image and I can feel it, right? I can feel, I know that me making money serve God instead of the other way around has formed me into a more generous person, which this formed me, which means is formed me into looking like Jesus more, right? And so I don't want something from you when I'm talking about it. I want something for you. So I will not apologize for talking about money. And here's the reason. I won't apologize for talking about something that Jesus talked about so much. I mean, how would that make sense? You know, we talked about last episode, we talked about standing in front of God and being called to account for being in leadership and teaching. Why would I want to be in front of Jesus and Jesus go, hey, you didn't talk about this. You didn't teach the people this. But I did a lot. Why would you not follow my lead in that? Why? Because it makes people uncomfortable? Because it makes you uncomfortable? Because people are going to say stuff like, oh, they just want the money? I mean, let them talk. If you really are after forming people's hearts. You know, I had a – so Easter week – I'll end with this, but unless you got something you want to add. Easter week, we do the journey, right? And if you're listening somewhere else, you don't know what we're talking about. We transformed the whole church into this like interactive walkthrough of Jesus' life. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Right? It's amazing. It ends in an upper room setting where we do communion. Stephanie and her husband wash, and her sister's done it for years too, washes all the communion cups and dishes over and over and over again all night long, hundreds of them. It's an amazing experience. And people are coming in and out serving all the time during the week as we prep it. Because you gotta take every chair out. You gotta build all these rooms, and you know what I mean.
Everyone does amazing.
Right, it's amazing. So we build all these rooms with curtains. So there's curtains hanging everywhere, right? And when the curtains come out of the boxes, they have creases all in them. So there are mostly women, some men, mostly women, going around the entire 3 days until we open that thing. 4 days. And all they're doing is steaming curtains all day. Like, come by for an hour, steam curtains. They go back to work. They come by after that church. They steam curtains. They go home. They come back and steam curtains. I mean, just nonstop steaming of curtains. Pain in the butt. Like, one of the worst jobs in the journey. I think that steaming steaming the curtains and washing them darn dishes that y'all do is the worst jobs in the journey. Anyway.
Wow.
We were in there. I was in there, and there was this one lady in our church. Now, she has been a part of Union for at least 8 years, okay? 8 years. She was in for a long time, then she was out a little bit, and then she was back in, and she was out a little bit, and now she's back in again. You know, life happens, right?
Yeah.
So she's been part of the church for 8 years. She was a part of us launching our Caswell campus, which all came through tithes and offerings. And that was a big push of, hey, we think God wants us to put a campus here, and we got to pay for it. So it was part of getting people to give and be generous. She's part of all that. And she's in there steaming curtains one night at like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm over here working on something else. And I walk in, I'm talking to her for a minute. And she goes, can I talk to you about something? You know, which is what people always do. You know, the pastor walking around, they grab you when they get a chance. And I said, sure. You know, it was a good night for it. Nobody was around. And she said she had a tithing question. And so I answered her tithing question. It was a very basic tithing question, right? It was the question that people ask when they're starting to process this. And it was the question of, do I tithe on gross or net? You know, that kind of thing, right? So we're talking through it, which I think God does not really care about. I gave her my opinion. I gave her what I do. And she paused and she said, I have never felt more like Jesus than I have the last 3 months of my life. And it's because I'm tithing. And this was just out of the blue, right? And this woman, though, has been hearing me teach and preach on this for 8 years, right? But something caused her to begin to do this, the Holy Spirit. I'm not taking no credit for it. And what she noticed in her life was an immediate change in her heart posture, right? In what's in charge, right? And in my resources serve who's in charge of my life. And it was the most beautiful little quick throwaway conversation. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't none to it. And she basically said, I feel like I've become more like Jesus in the last 3 months than I have in my whole life, right? And that's what I want for people. You know what I mean? Like, I had no clue that she had started tithing, Right? I didn't have no clue. I'm not sitting around looking at the list going, all right, this person needs to give more. You know what I mean? Like, that's the abusive stuff we were talking about. But when I walked away from that, I was like, that's what I want for people. You know, I want us to be formed more in the image of God. And that's what happens when I am somebody who gives. So as a pastor, I will not apologize for talking about money. You can get mad if you want to. You can avoid the topic if you want to. That's between you and the Lord, right? I won't apologize for talking about it because it's something that Jesus talked about all the time. And why in the world would I avoid something he talked about, right? Like to me, it's false. You're a false teacher and a false prophet if you also avoid talking about something that Jesus talked about, right? You know what I mean? Not true. Just creating fake stuff, but also avoiding what he talked about.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's false. That's false teaching as well, right? So why would we ignore something that Jesus said is extremely paramount to our faith walk? He says it's the number one competitor to our hearts, right? We want to kill all competition to our hearts for the Lord to have that space. So if money is, Jesus is telling us it's the number one competitor, then we got to go after that one, right? We got to make sure it knows its place. You know what I mean? Because money is an inanimate object, right? The pursuit of money, we were talking about earlier, and I think I got off track when I was trying to bring it up earlier, so I'll bring it up now. The pursuit of money is the root of all evil, not the love of money. Money is an inanimate object. Money does what its master tells us to do, right? So we want to make sure that God's actually our master. And so I'm not apologizing for talking about money. I don't have no problem with it. The enemy will come after me, though, Steph. So when I have to teach on money or we preach on money or whatever, you know what I mean? The enemy will be like, oh, don't, you know, make me dread it and be like, don't want to talk about this. People are going to be uncomfortable. And I just have to be like, Jesus talked about it. We're going to talk about it, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't want to get in front of Jesus and him be like, why would you ignore something I talked about so much? You know, that's not shepherding my people. So that's not leading them to me. So anyway, you know, going back to those things at the beginning, there's going to be plenty of people who listen to this who have significant church hurt because of money-related things. There's going to be people who listen who are very cautious about the church because there's so many people out there fleecing the flock, right? Let the Holy Spirit discern your heart in that, but don't make that make you avoid the truth, right? Truth's still the truth, even if it got abused. You know what I mean? And just because it's personal, the fact that it's personal should make you lean into it more, not less.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Anything that's really, really personal, you want to lean into it so the Lord can speak to it, right? Not avoid it because it's personal. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's all I got. That's a pretty good episode.
I like it.
Yep. And I mean, it's about money. I ain't apologizing for it. So,
yeah.
It's out there. Next week's, we had a little bonus to ourselves. Next week's, we're going to talk about the fact that I'm not going to keep apologizing for talking about sin, right? That kind of goes along with our first episode we did in the series about teaching the Bible, teaching the Word. Mm-hmm. This one's going to be specifically about, you know, as a pastor, we're going to talk about sin and we're not going to shy away from it. And that's also in a world where there are not just a lot of pastors fleecing the flock for money, but also a lot of pastors avoiding talking about sin. So I don't think Jesus would be happy with that either. Anyway, that's it. and in no point in this message did we say give your money to Union Church. And also you need to understand that this podcast makes us no money, right?
Exactly.
Nothing we do is monetized on the web, all right? So, not trying to get something from you by teaching this. We want something for you.
So true. Anyway, nice talking to y'all.
Yep, we'll see you later.
See you later. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.